This is the day that the Lord has made. And be glad in it. Thank you. Amen. And what a beautiful day he's made for us today. Look at all these smiling faces out there and all you happy-hearted people, I hope. You should be happy-hearted because here we are, right? Right where we need to be. In announcements today and prayer concerns and Thanksgiving, we're going to do them all together. We have for announcements the last game night, a little bit of a change in that for the family game night of the season is June 10th, 6 to 8 p.m. at night, obviously, game night. Fun food games, inflatables. Bring your friends. And this, I was told the inflatables are for everyone, not just kids. So we'll see. Mark your calendars for the date change. Also, that's the night before Children's Sunday. The last day is June 11th, and it's also our Potluck Sunday. So we've got a lot going that weekend to celebrate the end of Sunday school for the summer and the beginning, I guess, of summer period for us. We also have, and Mary can correct me if I have this wrong, last week we collected $822.25 for the rice bag meals. These are the ones that will go to annual conference, which will be used for disaster areas such as Ukraine. Is there anything I need to add to that, Mary? Oh, awesome. You guys are great. What a blessing. What a wonderful mission for this church to participate in.
We'll be packing the rice bag meals on Friday morning during the annual conference. Please pray for us.
Friday morning. Okay. And how... 2,000-something meals, you said, right?
And they were real pleased with the donation from our church. The lady was ecstatic and we were honored that we were able to come up with. And also, I don't know the total amount from other churches or anything, but I'll try to find out.
Okay, that is amazing. And it's so amazing. It's kind of a last-minute thing for our church, and it just... pop up and do it, you guys. You guys are just an awesome group.
Absolutely.
Awesome group. They really are. We have other announcements first. Camp scholarship forms are due June 1st, and that's coming right up here. And if you, I think they're in the back, and if you have it, if you have grandkids or kids or nieces or nephews or whatever, we have camps available for anybody. They're not just for our people, right? So please be sure to participate in that and encourage the youngsters because it's a wonderful experience. Prayer concerns. Please remember Lynn Frisbee will be having a medical procedure on Friday at the Ann Arbor VA Hospital. So we want to be sure to lift Lynn up in your prayers for sure. Also, continue prayers for Ginny Bizet. She has been moved to rehab in Sterling Heights. She's still waiting for test results to determine the next course of action. Any other announcements? Well, we'll look at the announcements on the back real quick, and I'm not going to do all the ones at the top because you can read those, but I do want to point out the June newsletter deadline is Thursday, May 25th. That's this Thursday, so if you have anything to submit, be sure you get it to Mary by then. Camp Scholarship Force, the last family night, the next birthday potluck will again be on that Sunday of our children's last Sunday school. Let's see. Birthdays. New birthdays. Are there any other announcements first that I've overlooked that I'm not sure we get everybody? Remember to use those little yellow cards to do that. We do want to remember Karen Downing as her son-in-law just passed, so we want to be sure to prayers for her and for the whole family involved. You just lost a son-in-law's father. Froner's son-in-law's father just passed away, too. This morning, So we want to remember him, them in prayers too. That's Joe Allen's father-in-law. Joe Allen's father-in-law. Birthdays. We have some birthdays this week. We have the 14th. And we've had some birthdays. I'm going to look at the next week. We just did these. May 21st, Anita Henry. May 25th, Elise Send. May 27th, Ty Brock. May 29th, Barbara Larson. May 29th, Tom Frohner. May 29th, Emily Hale. And Pastor Lisa on the 30th. And Joseph Podestivo on the 30th. And we have Memorial Day birthdays too next week. So, and we'll sing happy birthday to them, please. And anniversaries, we have Ivan and Amy Henderson, the 19th. Happy anniversary. Very good. How many years, Ivan? Wow, very good, very good. Awesome. Real quick, noting in our newsletter, radio ministry sponsors are still needed. We always need those for the radio ministry of our church, which is a wonderful outreach. It's just an amazing outreach. We want to be sure to remember that. And if the cost for 1 year is only $125, and you can note that on your giving if you wish to do that. The other announcements. Okay. All right, 30 seconds to go and no announcements and no things. We see our acolytes are ready almost, and we have acolytes day are the Moore girls, Riley and Adelaide, and can we start? So we'll start with our acolytes. To the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will bring us the morning message, and I am Bev Shoemaker, your worship leader for this morning. And our beautiful acolytes again, Addie and Riley. We will begin with our praise song, 2163, He Who Began a Good Work in You.
I know some of you do not know this song. It's been brought to my attention already, but I think it's a song we all need to embed in our hearts and our minds. So let us, if you don't know it, let's learn it together this morning, right? Let's stand if you're able. from Philippians 1:6. So you've quoted scripture already this morning. Praise God.
God, beautiful, beautiful. Our call to worship is read responsibly. Let us gather in this space.
We gather from many places.
Let us center ourselves for worship.
We are one in spirit, with joy in our hearts.
Let us receive God's blessing.
God's blessing is ours. We are God's beloved.
Amen.
Let us pray. Breath of God, renew us in this time of worship. Help us set aside thoughts that trouble us. Help us pause the challenges of the world that taunt us. Pour your spirit within each one of us that we may be re-spirited in this hour by your power and your grace. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. 21:30, the summons.
You come and follow me
a little bit faster.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Will our kids come up this morning? We're few, but we are mighty and few, right? How are you this morning? Good. Good. Have you had a busy week? Yeah, I know. It's getting busier and busier as the days get nicer. My message to the rest, while you ladies are all downstairs this morning, is what's next? And you know, I don't know how many days you have left. Easton gave us a countdown last week. It was 13 at one point. How many days of school you have left? You count it down? 12? All right. Yes, we got it. So, you know, sometimes There's many that are graduating. I know we had graduations yesterday. There's many graduations. I think I told Hollis yesterday, I think we have 5 open houses within the next couple of weeks. So it gets busy, doesn't it? But I'll bet you for every one of those graduates, and for some of you, they're moving on to the next grade and some maybe to the next school. We ask that question, what's next? Sometimes we as adults throw up our arms and say, what's next? In frustration, because we have so many things that happen. We've kind of had a little bit of an upside down week ourselves. Do you ever have an upside down week where it seems like it's just a lot of things, a lot of stuff? Too much to even get into sometimes, to even talk about. But you know, God knows every one of those things that we have dealt with this week. Every one of us. What some are dealing with this very minute. And we say, what's next? Lord, what do you want me to do next? And so this morning, as we ask God that question, we remember that He always has a plan. Even when we don't have a plan, or we think we have a plan and God has a much better one. We know that no matter what is next, God's already there. He's already showing us the way. He's already making things better than they would have turned out if we would have done it, I'm sure. But He's always, even the bad things that happen, maybe we notice especially the bad things that happen, that He always has a way of picking those things up and reshaping them and remolding them. And sometimes it's us He remolds. And He makes a way. Sometimes we think and think and think and we think, how could I make this any better? What can I do to undo my mistake? Or how can I make this situation turn out so it's a good situation? We think and think and think and think and we just can't figure out a way. And then God says, get out of my way sometimes. He says, get out of my way, doesn't He? And He says, let me take control. And I'll make it better than you could ever imagine it to be, even in the worst, even in the worst of the worst. So today, we look forward to a nice summer, don't we? We look to the real positive things, and we look forward to our game time where we can come together here, even us big kids, us really big kids. We look forward to all the things that our church has to offer, all of the ministries that we have, all of the ways we get to be part of what God's doing, not just in this room, but everywhere we go. So what's next? We don't always know, but we know God's already there. So we look forward to what He's going to do in us and through us, for us, and around us, sometimes just for us to witness and say, I know that was God. Wouldn't have turned out any way like that if it wasn't for God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for taking our lives, for molding and shaping us. Lord, for picking up the pieces when they seem to be crumbling all around us at our feet. Lord, let us put our faith and our trust in You. Let us keep our eyes focused on You and let us keep our hand in Yours. And I know, Lord, that when I relinquish my control, that Your plan is way better than mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
My reading is from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all your nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
We've had a lot of prayer needs already this morning, and we certainly lift all of those prayers before the throne of grace. This week we're praying for Peter's real estate as our business of the week. Do we have unspoken needs in the room today? Yes. Yes, thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Life-giving God, we receive your blessing. We don't always feel worthy to receive it. Your call often confuses us, and your love seems so generous. We worship and pray today, and yet we still count the times that we individually fall short of what you expect of us, Lord. Your mercy is abundant, but we hesitate to open our hearts to receive that. Lord, we ask today that as we worship you, we pray that you will get our attention, draw us closer to your side, that we might know that embrace and relief in all of your assurances. He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. He never gives up. And thank you, Jesus. That is our assurance this day, that you never give up on us. Your word and your work is never in vain. We thank you, Lord, for hearing each and every prayer, for the families that are grieving today, for the pain in our lives and the separation. May they fade, Lord, in comparison to your grace and your glory and your almighty healing touch. Lord, embrace us today. Love us, care for us. Encourage us, Lord, to follow your path and to hold your hand as we do that. We know that our ideas aren't always the right ideas. And we know that we misinterpret one another, and we know that we misinterpret you as well. Clear our minds of the fog this morning. Clear our hearts, that we might hear your voice and that those words would be revealed to us in the way that you intend. Lord, love us and care for us, especially on the days that we don't even know what to do for ourselves. Lord, bless, guard, and keep each one in this room, every family that's represented. And for those that couldn't be here, Lord, be with them wherever they find themselves today. For those that are listening in, Lord, I pray for a special blessing upon them as well. Lord, give us what we need to be strong in our faith and to be a witness wherever we go. In the loving name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray the words that he taught his disciples and that he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Choir anthem is next, and it's called Love Grows Here, one of our favorites.
People here to worship the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, choir. That was very beautiful. Just what we need to hear this day. Our New Testament reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke. If you go to the 24th chapter of Luke, the very last chapter in that book, 24th chapter, starting with verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Amen. And amen. This morning, so much in that message, so much for us to think about. What's next? As I ask the children this morning that aren't so much children anymore, they're sure growing up, aren't they? Getting to be young adults. What's next? We ask ourselves that often as adults in this room. Lord, what do you have for us today? What did the angels mean by Jesus will come again? Because that's part of the message today too, isn't it? According to Scripture, Jesus has been appearing and disappearing now for 40 days after his resurrection. 40 days isn't an uncommon number in Scripture, is it? 40 days comes up quite often. In 40 days, he keeps showing himself, appearing and disappearing. And as I was sharing this message this morning in KPAC, I was thinking, you know, perhaps he just kept randomly showing up here and there, random to us, not random to him, of course. But he would enter into a locked room or a room where the door was closed, and he would just appear to them. And sometimes they immediately knew who he was, but many times, as you recall in Scripture, he revealed himself only after he did something that they were used to seeing. Even as far back as when he was resurrected, when Mary was at the garden and she thought that that was the gardener, and then he said, "Mary." And she immediately knew who it was because she recognized his voice. And her mind became open to what was really happening. It was almost too much to grasp, almost more than what they could have imagined. Even though he had tried to prepare them for what that moment was going to be like, it's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? Jesus prepares us every day of our life, I believe. He's working on trying to prepare us for what's ahead. Some things that might be joy-filled things and some things that just are really hard. But he's preparing us. What's next? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know what's next. But I know that my Lord is already there. And I know he's preparing a way to make it even better than I could have ever imagined. when he would appear in these rooms and the disciples would see him and then he would break the bread. Or even on the beach when he broke the bread, it didn't have to be in their little upper room. It could have been anywhere where they were. When he broke the bread, I think Scripture says that their eyes were opened. And their ears, I'm sure, were opened, and their hearts were opened because they immediately knew who it was when he did that act of breaking the bread. Sometimes we see God at work after something has happened, don't we? When we've gone through maybe the hardest time of our life or maybe the most joy-filled time. And as we go on, I've had many people over the years say to me, as I look back, I can see where God was there at every point. And even and especially in those rough moments, I now see how I couldn't have done it without him. And if I wouldn't have had my faith and trust in him, I don't know what I'd do. And I don't know what people do that don't know the Lord in an intimate, personal way. What's next? Well, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. You can look that up in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 3. At the end of those 40 days, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1:9. Out of sight, but not far away at all. Still with them, but yet their eyes couldn't see him. As Scripture said, while they beheld, while they saw, while they visually watched this happen, I believe so they could be eyewitnesses. And I also believe that his appearing and disappearing for these 40 days was preparing for them to help them know that if they saw him or not, wherever he was or wherever they were, he was able to be there in a heartbeat if he needed to be. Or if they needed that reassurance. And our reassurances, they come God-inspired, certainly. They come through Jesus Christ, but sometimes he empowers you to be the one. Sometimes he empowers our humanness here. He empowers us to be those instruments that bring peace and comfort, that bring a healing touch, a healing word, an encouraging moment. He has the ability to make all things right, to set the upside down weak back to a rightful state, to pick us up in our shattered pieces that are laying on the ground, to just gather us up to put that vessel back together again. Just like that broken. It was a children's message one time in my past, and it was about a broken pot. And this boy was told to go and fill that pot up and bring it to his mom so she could water the garden. And all the while, the pot is leaking and it's dripping water all the way, to the point that there wasn't a whole lot of water left by the time he got it to mom. But then they turned around and looked in the days to come, and everywhere that water had dripped had been watering seeds all along the way. And those seeds were coming up, sprouting up out of the rocks and out of the ground that wasn't necessarily fertile or tilled, but it was coming up, and beautiful flowers were showing up. That's what God does for us. And we are that cracked pot some days, aren't we? We say that with tongue in cheek, right? But we are that pot. Sometimes we feel like we're leaking out all over the place. We're broken and we feel kind of useless. And here, little do we know, but the water that's leaking out and the things that are maybe by your example of your actions or your kindness, you're growing those seeds to be sprouting plants. You're showing others that your faith has brought you through, that God is making all things new. Isn't that what he tells us over and over again? I'm making all things new. I'm there for you no matter what. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles, again in Scripture here says, from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Have you ever had a dream and you woke up and it seemed so real that you just were living in it? I mean, you just, it wouldn't get out of your head. Some dreams come and go, but sometimes you have these vivid dreams. And I have to imagine sometimes these disciples had to be shaking their heads saying, did I imagine that just happened? Did I imagine that? Because that's way, way bigger than what my mind can grasp. How did that happen? Have you ever said that to yourself in a situation you're in? How in the world did that ever happen? Out of what I'm looking at with my human eyes, how in the world did that happen? We know how it happens, don't we? The disciples knew how it happened. And yet we need the reality sometimes of that visual. After Jesus left earth for the final time, at that moment, those who were with him were looking up into the heavens. And while they watched the sky, these two angels came dressed in white apparel, and they questioned why the men of Galilee were gazing up in the sky. They told them, this time, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven, Acts 1:11. He's coming back the same way he went. And you can rest assured of that. So the angels try to comfort the men and let them know that Jesus is coming back. Probably the best words that they could have ever imagined hearing on that day at that time. The men left the mount called Olive and returned to Jerusalem to be with the other believers as well, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers. Don't you think the angels were saying, what are you looking at? You don't have time to stand here gazing up into the sky. He's coming back, but you've got work to do. You've got work to do. Jesus came and he's going to come back. The ascension teaches us that Jesus needed to return to heaven and take his rightful place since he was only sent here for a brief time. We have people come and go in our lives. Sometimes they're here for a long time. Sometimes they're here for a moment. But we certainly should have enough evidence in Scripture. We have testimonies from those who saw him. We have testimonies in this room today that can make a difference in other people's lives just by the sharing of them. And we might do a little bit more of that in the days to come. These men were witnesses, eyewitnesses. It's part of why their stories were chosen to be in the canon of our Bible when it was put together, because they're eyewitness accounts. They cannot be denied. Their eyes beheld. We're not left alone. The ascension of Jesus Christ is significant because the story shows us that Jesus would never abandon us. Even though he's out of sight, he's never away. Kind of an oxymoron or something, isn't it? But even though he is out of our sight, he's not away from us. Even though they visibly saw him go up into the cloud, he didn't leave us alone when he left the earth. He told his disciples, he gave them more instructions, still teaching, still growing their faith. He told them that the Holy Spirit was going to come to comfort them once he was gone. Today, we are empowered to do many, many things that we never thought we'd ever be capable of doing, only through his power, not through my own power or your own power or any earthly being's power, but through the power of that Holy Spirit. We're going to do even greater things than the Lord. He tells us that. He tells us that many places. Matthew is one of them. He tells us that we're going to get to do greater things because of the faith we have in him and what we have already seen. So as we're looking on to what's next, we also remember what's past. And we know that we older folks in this room, we know that we look back and we see where God's been at every point of our life and how he's brought us past and through and sometimes, most times, even stronger than before we started. With a little more wisdom and a little more knowledge and a little more inspiration to go out and share that story and that testimony, a little bit more inspiration to tell others what Christ has done for us. Today we are empowered to do things because of God sending the Comforter. But he doesn't leave us idly standing, looking up into the sky, staring, trying to figure out what just happened here, because any of us would do the same, wondering what else is going to happen up in that cloud. The Ascension teaches us that we need to be busy and about the business of winning souls and filling whatever ministry God has called us to. You know, we're doing a study in KPEC, just finishing that up, about God's whispers. And, you know, one of our discussions is about, you know, how God's whispering in this ear to us, and in the other ear, there's a whole lot of world shouting stuff into our ear. A whole lot of garbage, and sometimes it's unrecognizable with static, and all we know is it's a loud noise and it's distracting us from what we need to be listening to in this ear. And sometimes, most times, we have to take intentional time out and say, I'm not going to listen to that right now, because right now I need to be listening for what Jesus is whispering in my ear. And if we don't intentionally put it away for a minute, Satan's going to use that to keep your mind busy and off what the Lord is asking you to do or what he's speaking to you. That word of encouragement, that word of love, that word of direction. I think in my head anyway, it's very, very difficult to listen to two things at the same time. I don't know about you. And then stay focused on what's ahead. So although it's important to know what's going on in the world around us, and it's important to listen to our neighbor and our, you know, things, we need to pay attention. We also need to be listening for that whisper. Sometimes he nudges us harder than a whisper, but we need to listen for his direction, is my point. To hear what he's asking of us to do and to shut out all of that noise that comes in from everywhere else. We need to be aware that Jesus is going to return, but we have to not be just standing around waiting. We should be harvesting souls through whatever gifting God has given us, and you have a gift. It might not be the same as the person sitting next to you, but it's a valuable, treasured gift. You've heard the phrase, God does not make junk, and he doesn't. Every single one of us has a value and a gift that can be used for the kingdom of God. And we must not expect it to be the one your neighbor has, but know that it is valued and treasured. And we need you here. We need you out in the world working for God's kingdom. As saints, we should also be prepared for that return, for sure. Since we don't know if it's going to be in 5 minutes or 500 years, we have no idea, do we? So we have to be prepared We don't want to leave anybody along the wayside. We want everyone there with us, don't we? We want to share what we know, what God has given us evidence of in the past, to bring our faith stronger in the future. We don't know if we're the generation that's going to see his return in the sky, but we should still have a spirit of expectation and preparedness. The ascension teaches us about order. Jesus would return to heaven, and then the Comforter or the Holy Spirit would come here for us. And the Holy Spirit endows us with the power to perform miracles just like Jesus did. We must not doubt that. It is our faith and what God has been able to do in our life in the past that helps us to know that we also have gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit within. 1 Corinthians 12. Some people have the gift of faith and they can believe in God for anything, and we need to be reminded of that through them. Some people have gifts of healing, prophecy, discerning, hospitality, gentleness, kindness. So many gifts. We need to be today about the business of uncovering our gifting so that we can use it to further God's kingdom in whatever way is needed. I've heard that miracles happen in certain areas of the world. I've seen it happen within our own community, within our own congregations. Sometimes we're blind to it because our faith is weak. But if we look out and we look with the eyes and mind of Christ. I know still sometimes people are afraid to believe in God for the hard things. They just want to give God the easy things or the things they consider to be easy. But we know that God has done miraculous things in my life alone, let alone the millions of people that have just come and gone from this planet Earth into and from our lives. He's done amazing and wonderful things. It's easy to doubt and to feel defeated, but God wants us to know how big he is and what he can, will, and is able to do and wants to do for us. Let us not hold him back in our lives. Don't let people dilute your faith because of their unbelief. Don't let people say to you, that could never happen. You know that really didn't happen, right? That was just a story. That was just an example. That wasn't real. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that his miracles are real. He showed them to the disciples. He showed them to folks that maybe like the centurion never would have believed unless they witnessed and saw. Surely this must be the Son of God. How else would that happen? Surely this is the Son of God. He's here this morning, folks. He's here this morning. And I pray that those of you that are really grieving and struggling today, that he is comforting you and giving you healing and hope. I pray that for you, those of you that are going through any kind of distress or struggle or conflict, that he's blessing you mightily today. Because we know that he can pick up and turn things around that we could have never imagined would ever be turned around. He can heal brokenness and hurt. And he can use those cracked pots leaking out water from every angle to bring up flowers and beauty. Let's grow his love today. Wherever we go. What's next? I don't know. We've come home from church many a time and gotten a phone call and thought, well, that's not what we were planning for today. How about you? Or any other day of the week. But when you least expect it, the Lord calls out to you in that whisper and says, this is where I need you today. There'll be time for all those other things at another place, another time, another point. But today, this is what I need for you to do. Let's be open to all of that today. Where does God want you to be today in his grand scheme and his kingdom? Let us pray. Lord, whatever is next, we know you're already there. And oh, Lord, we couldn't do it without you. So I pray that you will embrace us and equip us and empower us to be your people in your world. Bless us this day, Lord, as we give thanks and praise for you and what you have done for each of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If we might have our ushers come forward, let us give back to the Lord our gifts and tithes. Endless source of life, pour your blessings upon the gifts that we bring before you now. Bless our giving in your abundance for the restoration of all people. Through our offering, may those who are weary be energized. May those who feel forgotten find a home. With the joy of your grace filling our hearts, we pray these things. Amen and amen. As we prepare for our closing hymn, page 701, when we all get to heaven. You know, this cross, I can't tell you how many times I picked this thing up today alone. I have it in my Bible, and usually it stays put. And maybe it's as a reminder that he is risen, and there's nothing that's impossible. Absolutely. Amen and amen. Let's sing together when we all get to heaven. 701.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Christ is lifted up. As he withdrew, he offered a blessing. Receive his blessing today and be commissioned to serve God in this world. Offer healing to the broken and care to the empty. Transform the world through your faithfulness. Amen and amen. Let's sing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Let's receive his love. Praise God. Have a wonderful day. Join us for fellowship.